All right, we are now back into our open session, and we are going to go back to our recognitions. We're so happy that we can recognize people whenever we can, and we'd like to have Principal Daryl Guymon come back up, please, and do a recognition for Woodruff.
Since I told Karen Six, this is important we do this, and I told her she needs to envision this side all filled up.
Woodruff was here for you.
So anyway, I apologize, Karen, we didn't get that. Karen, come on up. This is Karen DeGasser. And Karen, as I talked about before, Karen and I started at Woodruff about the same time. Karen is part of the original crew of Title I. What were you called at that time? Because we've gone through Paras, Instructionalist, Chapter 1, Reading, Paras, whatever we called that time. So Karen's been at Woodruff about 18 years. And just a couple things that have been said about you, Karen. Karen has worked at Woodruff for years. She gives her all each and every day. She has been assigned to many different tasks and is always dedicated and happy in getting the job done. She has taught and influenced so many students over the years. Be interesting to count up how many students you've had in contact with over that time. She is a longtime Woodruff employee, outstanding team member, truly dependable. She does everything asked of her with an incredible level of skill. She could step in and easily be a full-time classroom teacher if she had the right teacher certification. I've been telling her that for years. She has helped in every classroom from kindergarten to fifth grade to the library. So congratulations, Karen, as our classified employee of the year at Woodruff.
That you could make it, and it breaks up our long meeting a little bit. So the Board of Education would like to recognize Karen DeGasser as Woodruff Elementary Classified Employee of the Year, and we congratulate you for being recognized for this achievement, and thank you for your dedication to the children in the Woodruff District.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of the Logan Board, as well as the Logan Foundation, we'd like to present you with a check, as well as a gift certificate to Cafe Savor. And thank you so much for all that you do. Do you have some family here would you like to introduce?
Yes, I do. I have my daughter, Mandy Hansen, and her two daughters, Maddie Hansen and Morgan Hansen, and our almost family, Karina.
She came all the way from Woodruff staff.
I think before they end, I can see some flyers there. I think they ought to bring it up.
I did too. And Mom, take a picture. No, pose. You need to pose. Come up and pose.
Come on, granddaughters. All right, get them all up there.
Get all three granddaughters.
Thank you. I'm so glad you got here.
Thank you so much.
You can make that room more smooth when you have those kinds of complications.
Don't dance, though. I have two left feet.
I don't either. Sorry.
Thank you.
That's all. Thank you so much. And we're sorry about the confusion in time. All right, board members, I would entertain a motion to move our action item number 7 to right now, which would be action item number 1.
I would so move.
Okay, motion's been made by Ann.
Second.
Seconded by Connie. All in favor?
Aye.
We'll now discuss an issue with our budget. Superintendent.
Yes, as we are finalizing our audit, it has been determined that there is a surplus this year, and has been traditional. This board has always directed administration to review to see how much of that could go back in a one-time stipend to our employees. So I would like to recommend to the board and for your vote tonight that we give a one-time 1% bonus to all of our employees.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we
give a 1% stipend to all of our employees with a minimum of $25, I think would be my motion.
I would second that. All right, and does the motion say it's one time? Did you say it was one time?
Yeah, one time stipend.
Okay. All right, motion.
Bonus, whatever.
Motion's been made by Lynn Hobbs and seconded by Connie Morgan to approve a one-time 1% stipend for our employees with a $25 minimum. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And we will get that so that they will, all employees will have that prior to the Christmas break, the holiday.
Okay.
Winter break, excuse me.
Very nice. That's exciting. We're always happy to be able to do that for our employees. It's a much needed time for them, and that's great. So, all right, now we're going to move on to action item number one, which is action on RFQ, request for qualification for our CMGC, construction manager, general contractor. And it seems that Zane is not here tonight. We will have Marshall lead us in that discussion.
Yes, as we start working on the design process at Logan High School, one of the key components on that is getting a construction manager, general contractor to be part of the, with us early so that we are having them right with us as we're doing the design. That is the most efficient and effective way of ensuring that our costs are kept down. What we would like to do is to have a vote of the board tonight to go out for that, authorizing Zane to develop that request. The timeline for this, as you state, as was stated in the board packet, is that we would be bringing you that recommendation on the 28th of January.
Are you going to have a committee who looks through these qualifications?
That process will be brought to you on the 10th of December on exactly what the process, but this allows us to do the opening, and he has been working with MHTN on the development of that RFQ. Our anticipation would be that would be back either by the end of, right before we go out for our winter holiday, or right when we get back. We'll have then a process of review and making the determination of how that will be presented. We will do that very similar to what we've done in the past, of bringing them to you with the presentations of probably the top two to four, and then making the determination then on the 28th. It'll be a busy January. Yes, it'll be a very busy January.
Any questions for Marshall concerning that? It's so exciting. I can hardly stand myself. I can hardly wait. I can't wait till we start building that school. It's going to be awesome.
Christy, we can stand you.
I know, but it's just so exciting. All right, so I need action on the request for qualification for the CMGC contractor.
Also move.
Also second.
Okay, motion's made by Lynn, seconded by Jim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right.
That's a new one, Jim.
Action on number two, which should be an request for
proposal. RFP.
It's an RFP.
Well, I thought Zane said it was the RFQ because
no,
we've already purchased
it.
It's RFP.
Okay,
it's
well.
Proposal.
Oh, I see. It's an RFP for request for proposal for the home removal. Once again, Zane is not here, so Marshall.
As you know, we purchased the homes to our west over the last 2 years with the anticipation of a time when we would be able to have more green space around this building. We don't have any at this point, and as well as a safer entrance into the back parking area. With that, we would have to do something with the two homes that are to our west. What this proposal is to determine whether or not there are interested parties who would like to move those homes and utilize them still as homes, but in another location. In addition to the two homes to the west, we also have a home next to Woodruff Elementary that we purchased. We kept the as long as the person who was living in it, Mrs. Timmons, was alive. We allowed her to live there, even though we own the home. When she passed away 18 months ago, the family has gotten everything out of the house now, and we just need to make that determination so that that we can do something with that property that is right to the east of the parking lot at Woodruff. So the RFP would be for all three, and see if there is a determination, if there's somebody who's interested in moving those and reusing them as homes.
And then in the future...
Is that the only thing, or are we also looking, if that doesn't happen, the next step?
At this point, the next step will be brought to you. If that does not occur, that we do not have any interested parties on that, then at that point we would be looking at demolition.
It would be a separate RFP.
Okay.
RFP.
Okay.
Any questions on that? All right. I need a motion to have action on the RFP request for... Home Removal Purchase.
For the three
proposal. Request for proposal for the home removal.
Okay.
So I move.
I will second that.
Okay. Motion's been made by Connie, seconded by Ann. Any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's also very exciting. All right. Action on request to Logan City on First South. Superintendent.
As we have gone through the process now that we have the vote of the bond, we need to focus in on what our design will be for Logan High School. As we did the initial facility study, as we have gone through the initial discussions, as we've narrowed it down to Logan High as being our critical component, one of the major things that has come up time and time again is that we have a very unsafe situation with our children at that school by having a parking lot across the street with no access, easy access back over to our campus. The other concern we had as we went out and made a determination as to what projects we would look at, and the fact that we knew Logan High School would be our first project, was an expectation by this board, was that as we know that this has to be a phased process, that we do it in a way that will minimize the overall impact of our students so that those that are at the school during construction are safe, but also their educational time is not interrupted. And we try to keep that at a minimum, knowing that when you have a major construction that we are going to be having, that adds a major challenge, but it can be done. I have seen it done. In order for us to go ahead, we need to have some action taken by Logan City Council. What we are proposing is to send them, you would give authorization to me to send a letter to them requesting action in one of three areas, and it needs to be one of these three. Knowing, again, safety is a major concern. The three options that we are giving to them is leave 100 South open, but with conditions. And those conditions would be that during the school day, we have the right to be able to close off on the ends so that we have a mall way across from the parking area without cars going through on that section so the kids can go safely between their park from the parking into the high school. That would be basically from 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. As we look at that, obviously we need to do signage and the ability of knowing. This is not something new. Other areas have done it with different schools, and not in our district and not in our area, but it has been done within this state and within this region. We would also in that have a focus on signage for overall speed in that area that would be reduced so that we would have a safe operation 24 hours a day during that in that part. If that the second option that we are asking them to look at would be a rerouting of 100 South, that we actually keep it open but we would run it with a jog that would go to the north and then come back through. That would allow us to do some building in a similar area to where we are. It expands what would have been in our initial concept process was the fire lane, but making it so that there is a thoroughfare through, but it would be a slower one, and we would still do the same with the reduced speeds and everything, but there would not be any traffic coming from the north over to the south. There would be no students.
And that would probably be rerouted through North Campus, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We would have a process that North Campus, North Campus building, or even around where the one option that the architects are looking at is right after the Thatcher Mansion, starting to curve that through, taking it as far north as we can possibly do, and then curving it back, and so it meets again back at the current intersection.
Marcia, can I ask a question before you go on to the next one? On the first one, the first option, what would happen, like, with musicals, special events, basketball games, things like that?
Just during school.
That we are primarily looking at the in school, but we would also be, that's where the signage comes into play, that we would still request of the city for a way to get them across during the other activities. We would have physically them closed during the school time. That's when we have the most.
But we
kids.
Wouldn't physically close it for other events.
We could discuss that with them, but I would like to have them allow us to have some other options, including signage and the potential of having a mid-block crossing. We've got to have something safe. A mid-block crossing is not still going to be safe for 1,700 kids to go across during the regular part of the day.
Well,
so that's a primary. During that time, it's closed off, it is open, and we would focus and funnel our traffic so that they're walking across in specific areas.
So I'm thinking like at Candlelight, that's a biggie, you know, where they're that. If part of that could be that you do have times when you can't.
The other option would be we have the right at specific times to close it off as long as we give notification. And again, that can be part of the discussion with the city.
How do you think needs to be, Marcia? That's one concern I had as I read the first one is, you know, you have plays, you have other things at night, and I think there's just as much a hazard of people getting hit then because, you know, you're mainly parking across street and it's dark anyway, it's not well lit. And to me, that if we're going to have that, I think it almost needs to be,
and I
think it needs to be blocked off whenever that parking lot is in use as a school function. That's just how I.
Well, and then the other thing that on our part, Lynn's point of the lighting, I think we need, and that's maybe something that we look at short term, is what about the lighting on that street? You know, can we do something so that you can see? The problem is if they go down to the corners, there is lighting, but nobody goes down to the corners.
And note that lighting is the city's. It's
not.
But we can work with the city to determine if there's ways that we can enhance what we have. Because right now we have two very nice looking lights, but they don't put off very much light there in the front of the building on the south side as they're coming in.
Well, what we're talking about the first proposal, my other concern is, you know, just putting up a, you know how, I've watched where they've tore down our house, and they put up a sign that says road closed, but they can go around it.
These are actual gates that close, and they are closed physically during the time that we're having, so.
Because signs alone doesn't stop people from going.
Signs do not allow. So my intent would be that, and that's what I've seen before, where there are gates that come in from both sides. That would be the proposal for
that. But that would have to include an option for the access to the parking lot to come off of a different angle.
And that's where the campus comes into play, and then we would have to do something on the exit part. That would have to be completely redone, where they were not coming in or out of their current exits and entrances.
Because, as we know, Pat was hit in the morning hours when school wasn't even in session. So I agree that we need to, you know, that's my least favorite of the options, but they definitely have to address the safety of our students.
The last is the request to vacate the 100 South as we have originally proposed. So those are the three options we would like them to discuss and come back, but they've got to address our safety concerns in their motions. They cannot just say we want it open and without them making the determination on the first option.
Will you be making the proposal that we would like yes in or the first proposal, or this is our number one, this is our number two, this is our number three?
I have not put that down.
I think we ought to. That's
my opinion. So number three should be number one.
I'm a very linear person. I read from the top to the bottom, and the thing at the top seems like it's the most important.
Yeah.
The thing at the bottom seems like the least important. So I would definitely put three and one.
I would too.
And then
two is two.
Is two, and one is three.
Okay, that's fine.
And I would also personally like them to be, our preference would be number one.
Yeah.
Our second preference would be number two. Our least favorable one would be number
right. That's fine.
Also on that, so we take this proposal and then whatever, if they said would like to look at all three options, that would then give us direction, or they do the traffic study, right?
We are doing the traffic study.
Okay,
that process is we've made contact with the city, but they have the people that we can go to, and so Zane has already made initial contact with Mark Nielsen. Prior to that being done, we have committed that we would meet with the community, so we're trying to organize that. And when we get back on the 2nd, we'll be facilitating and seeing when that will be done.
Because I would almost think that the traffic study would need to address all three of these scenarios, wouldn't it?
Yes. Well, what the traffic study will do is what is the current flow?
Okay.
Where are our students and what time? What's the load coming in and going out? And the timing of those and the numbers of those.
And then other traffic, the rest of
them. So as they are anticipating, what we're looking at is how many are going Center Street to 2nd West and going over and parking in the parking lot to the west of the school by the English wing. How many are then making a turn and going in? How many are coming from the east and going down first south and coming in that way? And what's our traffic from the west, southwest, and northwest?
Okay.
And which direction they come. It's we've had a lot of anecdotal of where things are and what the hassles are, but we need to have the data to.
Do we know when that will start?
I do not. That's why I said we will know on the 2nd
as to what
Mark was making initial conversations with the companies that do that, and we were then going to follow up with them so that we would have a meeting as quickly as we can. Before the Christmas break, we will have that done.
The one thing, is it possible, I don't know how they do it, but you know, if you eliminated the travel in and out along that street, if the students that drove was there, would be a drastic difference in local traffic versus...
That's when you do the Saturday and the Sunday to know what happens
so
on
right,
other
right.
days.
They will look at. They have to look at what happens during the weekends. And so.
Okay.
And that's
the
more
right
indicative time. Of what happens when you don't have something on.
Right.
And they know how to do it, which is what's so nice.
Yeah.
Is they truly know how to study something.
Well, we've had conversation with the city about this multiple times, so hopefully they will logically see this as our next step.
One last thing, just in terms of information, there have been different ideas that have come through, one of which was it just seems obvious to some people that the tearing down of wood, the English wing now, and then just adding portables and then building just on the west, that's a no-brainer. One of the reasons why, even from the beginning, is we were looking at the initial proposals that we've done, and we went through a lot of work to get to that tentative proposal that went out to the architects about the closure of First South. The cost, we did some work, would cost anywhere between $1.6 to over $2 million, almost $2.1 million for portables
to house
those areas. And that is money that would have to then come out of the bond, and you will never recoup that money. It's not going to permanent structures. It goes to ones that we would then probably have to sell. And so, yes, we use it for 3 years, but even at that point, in amortization, we still are using dollars that could be spent on a 75-year solution for a very short period of solution. So that as an idea is out there. I understand that, but that's one area that we would like to share the information on and why it is too expensive for us to do it that way. It is not an appropriate use of taxpayer money to do it for that much money and not getting 75 years out of it. So at this point, we need a recommendation.
Hi, you have the Nutcracker on. So
okay, you know what?
Well, that
is it still on?
Yeah,
it's still on. Let me go in.
And will you get up and dance?
Okay, I have to tell you this. Last night, my daughter comes into my room at 1:30 in my bedroom, and she
the Berlin Symphony is no longer playing Swan Lake.
And it was playing also. Of course, they didn't hear it. And
yes,
I go, what
you
are you doing?
And Connie only has 309 messages in her inbox.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
You might
don't
want to take
her.
A look at them tonight.
All right. Well, I agree, and I look forward to our discussions with the city, and I hope that we can move forward in a positive way and definitely address the safety issues of our students. And I need a recommendation now to direct the superintendent to contact the city of Logan with a request for 100 South to include three options, which would have been modified per board member's request, which would be our preferred would be to vacate First South. Our second preferred would be to reroute First South. And our third preference would be to leave First South open with conditions.
I would so move.
A second.
Okay, motion's been made by Lynn Hobbs, seconded by Connie Morgan. Any other questions or directions for Marshall? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. We've made some major steps today in getting our work done at Logan High, which is exciting. We are now on action item number four, which is the first reading of the fundraising policy.
As in front of you, even it says, if you see drafts C, but it took a lot of work even to start with drafts A and B and getting to this. This policy is in deference to the changes in the law and the expectations of the Auditor General's office, State Auditor's office, excuse me, to review and make sure we have a very clear policy. This is the first of four policies that will be coming to you. This policy, fundraising, and then donations will be our next one. And then we have receipts and expenditures. What do we do with receipts? It's basically that financial end of the policies that we need to review. We have run this by principals. I've not received anything back from them since I've sent it out to them. But the changes that they had requested had been made between sections or drafts A and B. So now we are on C, and I'll turn some time over to Ann so that you can kind of walk through what those changes were.
You know, the biggest question on this is always what is a non-school sponsored activity and fundraiser? Yeah. What is not? Well, that was decided by the state board and the auditor's office. They have sent us this. If it's this, it is. If it's not, it's not. It's in here. We've used what they have determined it is. I think it's clear as mud, but we basically have to go with what they have chosen. So nothing was changed on the very front. Then we go to, I know one of the concerns by the high school was the district. 4.3, the district requires fundraising opportunities to be equitable for all students, comply with Title IX, and be in harmony with Title X of the Utah Constitution, which states that all children will receive equal. You know, we have not been really careful about that with fundraising, especially if somebody says, I will give X amount of dollars to such and such a program. And I think it's good to remind us, if you're doing it for the baseball field, you probably need to do it for the softball field. If you're doing a donation to the...
There's a consistency of that.
Right, and if someone wants to donate to the girls' basketball team, we have to make sure there's equity in the boys, which, of course, it's not the way that it's been done. We also added to the policy something that was in the procedure and that we reworded and made it policy, which is 4.5 here, that says district employees or volunteers shall not receive any direct or indirect compensations, prizes, rewards, or commissions as a result of school-sponsored fundraising activities. In some districts in the state that have gotten into trouble, what has happened is if you buy all the Nike uniforms, then the coach gets Nike uniforms or shoes for all his kids. Or, you know, now you'll see later on that if we buy things through Nike and they want to give something to the whole team or, you know, some, and with teachers,
very good example is book orders. You know, if you do the book orders with kids, and there's always a, then you'll get so many books back. The books belong to the classroom, not the teacher. Therefore, they're not getting an indirect compensation. And so those are just some of the things that, because of some major, major issues in other districts, especially with big football programs, we just have to really...
We're going to have to clarify this.
Oh, well, it's something that we're going to have to do in service with principals, and then we're going to have principals or someone from the business department or Marshall go out and talk about what does this mean. The biggest thing is we answered it. I'm sorry, I entirely left off. And if we can get Connie there, it doesn't help if we don't have everybody on task.
We're trying to get it.
Yeah, well, then let me find it for you, because you won't find it. You're not in the right place. So you need to go to board book, and you're not even in board
book. I was in board book. And when I was in board book, yeah, I pulled it up, and it doesn't come up.
Okay, so here we are, board book, and we go to the fundraising policy right there. And then it's right there.
Okay.
All right. Okay, if you go to procedure, if you go to 5.2, I apologize. Some way in my trying to take out what's policy and what's procedure, I neglected this entire section, which answered a lot of the principal's questions. Hopefully you've all read through those. But truly this talks about that, you know, those rules that it can affect a student's grade and what you need to do. And it is quite different. And, ooh, did I not make the change? 5.2.F.1, was I supposed to take off middle school on that?
No.
We decided it was okay. So anyway, some of it is a change, but, you know, truly... At the middle school, if they want to do a fundraiser, and I know they do some because my neighbor kids have come over, but my neighbor kid coming over to sell me magazines is very different than him going door to door with people he does not know.
But the problem is with that, and I mean, there was a thing that just went on recently at the Wilson fundraiser, and I'm sure it could have been PTA or whatever. But I had kids that I had no idea who they were. Just, I mean, I must have had 20 different little kids. Oh, you've got to buy this because then I can get this. And, you know, then I read this, you know, I put a note down here because on that 5.2 F.1, you know, it says we prohibit it, but it happens all the time.
Well, and that's one reason that and PTA has their own set of rules.
I know,
but we can say to PTA, and even PTA, I believe, is told elementary children should not be going door to door.
It just scares me. I mean, I had some kids that I know, one had to be no more than 6 or 7, all by himself, going door to door, and I think, you know, what would happen if somebody's grabbed this little kid and he was out selling to raise money for the school or something? You know, parents don't separate school from PTA. It is all
so
they're doing
one
it
of the
for the school.
We have to do is
and I just think if we do this, I think, in my opinion, if it says they're prohibited from doing it, they ought to be prohibited from the PTA, too. I don't care if they go to mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. But
well, and have mom and dad contact the neighbor and say, so-and-so's
totally
coming over.
That's different, but that coming door to door.
We can work with the PTA, but they are under their own jurisdiction.
I know they are, but still,
but once this
parents,
is, this is what we approve, then that sets the guidelines.
Now, notice 5.2.E, and this is really diverges from what we've done. Competitive enticements for participation in fundraisers are discouraged. Prizes or reward offered by a selected fundraising vendor should be only awarded to groups, classes, or students and must be disclosed and approved prior to the fundraiser. Therefore, a principal could say, I don't want kids going door to door, therefore we're going to do the class that does the most, but it's going to be a class thing rather than Lynn gets the incentive. And we this is being, it's required to be adopted throughout the state, and maybe the fundraisers will change how they approach those prizes. Then you notice also here, this, then here is where it says direct or indirect compensation, prizes, rewards, or commissions shall not be received by any district employee or volunteer involved with student fundraising. And then, you know, there are a lot of things in here. Suitable procedures must be used to safeguard students and must be clearly communicated to parents, and then it has the door-to-door statement. And we need to make sure that schools are doing a better job of communicating. Just go to grandpa and grandma and the people parents work with, but the children should not be doing it. And I think that's something, as we adopt this, our district has never had a fundraising policy. Back when I was PTA president 100 years ago, I remember saying to Gary Carlson, we don't have one. And he said, well, if we have one, we have to follow it, so we're not going to have one.
So PTA doesn't have one.
No, PTA has those one. From the
state.
But, you know, I wanted the district to have one because PTA does say you need to make sure you're following your, any specific policies your district has. Then, if you look at 5.2.F.2, this was in what we received as the model policy. High school students may participate in one door-to-door campaign per sport, club, or group per year. We talked about, okay, we approved this big trip to Washington, D.C. for the choir and band, or, you know, that they do multiple fundraisers. So we have added our own 5.2.F.2.A. Exceptions to this rule, such as multiple fundraisers, people, you don't catch my errors, for major travel must be approved by the superintendent. So what we would recommend, and of course a lot of this we have to put into our travel policy then, but so when we get another big trip request, we would ask the teacher slash advisor of that group to come with somewhat of a fundraising plan. And Marshall would encourage them. I noticed that the choir and orchestra did a mattress sale, you know, and so we could say, yeah, you can do one door-to-door. You can do this big dinner you're doing. You can do a concert. And we really would prefer that you don't do more than one door-to-door. And then they come back to Marshall and say, we've got a couple of kids who've got to do more. Can we have them sell Grizz cards? It would have to run through Marshall on that.
Question on that one, Ann, is like, okay, if there is going to be an exception to the rule, shouldn't there be some parameters or some criteria that make for an exception? Or just the exception is whatever you want?
Well, the exception to me would have to, again, be the overall plan.
It's the major travel.
And we're talking about something which, by for that to occur, if you look under 5.3, that would be something probably more than $50,000 that would be done, which means there had to have been board approval. So there's a double coverage there in terms of expectations. They would have to have a very specific plan for their how they're going to raise their money.
So it would have to be made, the exception would have to have some kind of criteria so that one group or one, you know, fundraiser or one doesn't feel like, well, you know, one was allowed to and another wasn't allowed to based on what?
It's that major travel portion of it. And then take the authorization and supervision for school-sponsored activities. That one, and I think that should say school-sponsored fundraising activities. It always says different things when I'm reading it out loud in front of you people. One of the things, we had this authorization and supervision was first, but we felt like if we put it first, we would not get people to read the no door-to-door sales and some of those things. So we moved, these are the basic rules, and then now we put how to get it authorized.
If you look on 5.3.B.1, that is, and B.1 is when they come to the board, if it's over $50,000, that would be part of the parameters that they would have to bring to you, would be a fundraising process. As we do our annual trip requests, many times on those there are ones that are activities that require fundraising.
And they'll put that
down.
They would
have to have that. That will be part of what they're doing. So if they're saying, we want to do this, this, and this, and there, and two out of the three are door-to-door, the question is why does that second one have to be door-to-door? They would have to have a justification that this raises more money on a one-time basis than if we would do five of something else.
I really, please clear this up for me. You know, when it says exception to this, such as, it only gives an example, such as a multiple fundraiser for major travel, but it doesn't say only as a only. It leaves it open to allow you to make any exception that you want.
Okay, would you like the such as? Do you want an exception to this rule for multiple fundraisers for major travel?
If the exceptions to the rule are only for multiple fundraisers, then it should read something like that. If that's the only exception you would make.
You mean the only exception is for major travel?
Is that it? I mean, is that what you want to say? Because if you just put such as, then it leaves it open, you can make other exceptions. Because right now it's only an example of an exception.
But at this point, it's still more than what they have ever had before.
Right, and one of the things we try to do when we do
whatever you want.
I believe when we try to do policy and procedure, if we do it too tight, then we don't give our administrators and our superintendent the ability to function, and everything has to come back to the board.
Okay, and I understand that, and that's what I'm saying, is that are we leaving this as that the superintendent is allowed to make any exception that he wants, because that's how it reads. And if that's the...
And I'm fine with that.
That's what I'm asking.
And that, and Christy was there with us, and I'm fine with that. Because if they have to come I know how with those major travel things, you know, when they went to Pearl Harbor and some other places, they were at the end, they were doing things to get... Because Anne still needs... $200, and she needs to do Grizz cards. If that had to come to a board meeting to get approval for it, that just gets overwhelming.
You know, and I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm just trying to make it clear, is that we are saying that the superintendent has the power to make an exception, and that maybe it just, I don't know if you want to write it a different way or not, but
The challenge you have is that if you get into specifics, too specific, as Anna's saying, then that ties up, because there could be that it is a very logical process, and yes, could it look arbitrary and capricious? The process would be done as best as possible, but there was anyone
who... Then take
who
out the middle. Then just say, exceptions to this rule must be approved by the superintendent, period.
And I think we put that in because... Everybody who's read it has said, in fact, I've talked to other school districts. I went to superintendents and said, in your district, how do you handle these big trips? And every single one of them said, for big trips, they come to me, and I must approve every single one of those. And so, in my mind, but I thought we need to say the such as, because I don't know of another such as. It hasn't come up yet, but it may not be the only exception.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm aware that is the case with this.
Okay.
And if all of you have a lot of angst about that, we can take it out. But
nope, great.
I just think if you want to give it to him, say, exception to this rule must be approved by the superintendent, semicolon, such as, and maybe put the such as at the end, so that the emphasis is on you are allowed to make any exception anytime you want without having to come to the board. I would feel really comfortable with that. I don't know.
And it's the door-to-door sale.
Again, please understand that the chances...
I understand.
Of that happening below $10,000 is pretty limited. Between 10 to 50, as this would be with superintendent and principal approval.
Right.
The majority of these would be 50,000 and more would be coming to you, and so that you would have some additional oversight. So I think we're going to be covered. To
but
the
just
point
like
where
the example coming at the end.
Okay, I'll move the example to the end. That's great. Okay, on the
I have
next
a question on door-to-door, though.
Okay.
Because in all the fundraisers that I've ever had my children participate in, they always say, we discourage door-to-door, but the kids do go door-to-door.
Yeah.
And so really, what's door-to-door? I mean, door-to-door really is my children going to your house and selling candy.
Gift wrap.
Yeah, gift wrap. So really, I mean, if we're saying door-to-door sales are prohibited,
except for high school students.
Except for high school students, really, that could be read as you can't go sell wrapping paper at anybody's door.
Which, you know what, I'm fine with that. I'd much rather, just as we've heard in a couple of other places, the kids going door-to-door, anybody going door-to-door nowadays. As churches have not having their missionaries go door-to-door. And I'm fine, and the thing is, this is a requirement from the state.
Yes, I'm not saying that I am encouraging our students to go out and do door-to-door, but my children would go to Jim's house and sell him wrapping paper. I would be completely fine with them doing that, but is that door-to-door? Yes. Is that inappropriate?
If they are, you know, and some of the things we've had in the past, and I know at the middle school they tell them when they're doing their selling, you only go to people you know. And you know, if we want parents to call first before a child goes, because you usually make your kid go to the door because you don't want to do it all yourself.
Yeah, so maybe it needs to be set. Maybe it needs to be clarified better.
Well, and I don't know how to clarify it and not go against state rule.
Yeah, I think it's good just the way.
Because I think the door-to-door is generally accepted as being, here you go,
stranger.
You go out, and you're going to go run around the block, and you're going to go to people that you don't know.
It's the trick-or-treating,
right.
Just dropping a kid off in the neighborhood instead of, we know the Gearys, we're going to go trick-or-treating here.
My friend Tammy comes over with her daughter and brings the wrapping paper and says, do you want to buy this? That's door-to-door, but that's not the concept. That's not the spirit of what it's saying, I don't think.
Well, and I don't know if we need, as we talk with principals, if we need, for example. And sometimes, I know when I was PTA president, we actually said, we would encourage you, and I think they do this at the middle school because my 12-year-old neighbor was telling me, well, yeah, they told me I could come over here and talk to you, but I couldn't go across the street and start knocking on doors. This isn't because, well, I said, all right, should you be going? You know, he said, we've been told that we can go to our friends.
I think that Jim and perhaps the superintendent and Lynn and myself, I don't think any of the rest of you are old enough, but remember magazine sales, and we would go all over as far as we could go, and, yeah, that was door-to-door.
So, on numbers on this next section is just the way that we had it before with the approval of the different things. The capital fundraising is in there again because of some issues in other places where they built huge buildings on school campuses without the board knowing about it, really, and without the superintendent and business administrator having any oversight whatsoever because the donor was giving $3.2 million. So the coach and the donor created the building with no district oversight. So that, of course, is...
On school property.
On school property,
and
yes.
How they wouldn't know, I wouldn't... I don't know how that...
And then I've got to take out the section used to be underlined, and I know there's an underline that shouldn't be between sponsored and activities. This is where you think, okay, what is a non-school sponsored activity and fundraisers? And this is the section that is so weird, but it's in their sample policy, and I always have to think about it as, okay, the lacrosse team at Logan High. They use our fields. And then, you know, this is my note, do we have this notification, the non-school sponsored parent notification form? We need to make sure we have that form. And then we do, and this is again something that needs to be had some in service on, is employee relationships and disclosures that district employees, of course, can have more than one job. But if they do, and it's going to have some kind, in many ways, this is kind of not a fundraising portion.
Yeah, I'm
and
sure
I wondered, should it even be here?
I don't think.
But the state thinks it should be. Because what you get is an employee who runs a candy business and he or she is also the choir director, and we're only doing my candy or something like that. And so if they file the disclosure and somebody else chooses them, that's okay. But if the disclosure doesn't happen, it's a conflict of interest. So that's why, and it goes through all the rules on how it happens. And
that came from the state.
Yes, and we were told it must be in our policy. So
it's there.
Okay. It is there because we do what we're told.
That's right. The ring of the house.
Yes. According to Howard Stevenson.
Well, I just want to apologize for being off task for a moment, you know, and being chided for doing so, because what was happening is I just kept hitting the wrong thing and wondering why Lynn was getting it and I wasn't. And so, anyhow.
Well, I just knew we shouldn't move forward if we weren't all on the same page. So.
I know, and I'm going, where is it? And I apologize for the music. I don't know how it happens. It's magic. But how boring would it be if something like this didn't happen, huh?
Exactly.
All right, we need a motion to accept the first reading of the fundraising policy.
I was so moved. I'll second it.
All right, the motion's been made by Jim, seconded by Lynn. Any comments? I have a comment. Thank you, Anne. I appreciate your work.
Yes,
I sat in on this discussion, and I don't know how she does it. My brain doesn't even... I'm doing better with policy, but sometimes it's overwhelming. So thank you very much, Anne. I appreciate all your work. All right. All in favor?
I like your brain, Chris.
Aye.
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 Aye. Perfect. Motion passes on our first reading of the fundraising policy, which is exciting as well. All right, we're on to action item number 5, which is action on the 2014-2015 school calendar and the 2015-2016 tentative calendar. Marshall.
Okay, first of all, on the 2014-2015 calendar, there was no changes from what you approved from the tentative. You have a copy there of what that is. We would be starting on the 19th of August. With students and ending on the 29th of May, so before June. The parameters that the committee went through are the same as what we've had before in terms of trying to start as late as August as possible and try to get out as early in May as possible and not go into June. They really like it when we can get out prior to Memorial Day. That did not occur on our 2014-15 calendar. It does include a 3 days again at Thanksgiving break, and our we need to change that. It needs to say winter break.
In
December, from the 22nd through the 2nd of January, we would come back on the 5th. It does include the 30th of March through the 3rd of April as our dates for our spring break. One of the things, again, on this one, and as we discussed...
No, March 28th through April 1st.
March 30th is the actual...
Yeah, this is the 14-15 calendar.
This is the 14-15 calendar.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
You on the right page, Kristen?
Nope, I'm not. I'm off task.
150.
Yep, got you. Thank you.
One of the things that potentially can change is, as we did this year and we did last year, if the state allows for us to use 2 instructional days for professional development, we will again petition the State Board of Education for that. That would mean that on record we start on the 19th with students, but technically we would then start on the
21st?
On the 21st.
On Friday?
No.
Thursday.
It would be a Thursday. This is, again, on the 2014-2015 calendar, okay, which is next year's calendar. That would not, we don't know until after the legislature and whether the state school board will allow that again. If they do, again, it's just been a year-to-year thing, and we have petitioned every year. We would continue to petition for teachers to have additional professional development. Any questions on the 14-15 calendar? As we get into the 15-16, there was understand that when we do calendars, there's no way to please everybody. Somebody comes out of it not wanting what is there. If we start too late in August, then the concern on the high school level is for their AP and concurrent enrollment classes. Those tests are they're so close to the 1st of May that it is really wreaking havoc if we start too late in August, because we would go into June and literally they would have less time to be able to have the students study for those tests. So they really like things, they like starting earlier, as early as we can. Then you get parents as well as other elementary teachers who are saying, please don't start on a Monday, because if you start on a Monday, that's very difficult for a little first grader coming to school now for a whole week. That first time, it's a killer for not only the children, it's a killer for the teachers. That a midweek start is so much easier for them to do. So that is another thing to take into consideration. So as we're looking at that, then you have those that say, should we go less days at Christmas time so that we can make this whole thing work? The challenge we've had at Christmas is that if we... the winter break. Thank you. Slap me on that. One of these days I will get that right. As we look at winter break, we do have a number. I won't say it's a huge number, but there are a number of our parents who have family out of country. And as they've looked at in the past when we did not have the 2 full weeks, they would say, well, we're taking our kids out anyway. We'll be gone for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. By going to the 2 weeks at winter break, we've actually seen, and this is anecdotal, we've not had a chance to really delve into it, but from conversations in schools, that there's actually been a lessening of them leaving. They know they have the 2 weeks and that seems okay, and they're leaving for that and are not leaving with additional time. So our students, we have more students in class for longer periods of time. And again, when you have a partial week, we also find that many parents, regardless of what they're doing, will take the kids out the whole time. Flip side of that, you have working parents who are challenged on saying, where does my children go for the 2 weeks when they're out of school? Because I don't have the resources to be able to get someone to watch them. So they are saying, just take the minimum amount. So you're constantly looking at literally, very, very opposing views that are very passionate on both sides. So as you look at the 2000, the calendars, D is what the vote was, but there's some angst because it starts so early on the 19th. That's an angst for many, because we actually have a week. We have 6 days from the 24th to the 31st, and then the 3 days of that week. That's 9 days of school.
What's weird is also you've been in school a week and a half, full weeks before you have Labor Day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
But with that calendar, we also are getting out the Friday prior to Memorial Day, and so that is a plus in that respect. We're not going a partial week, we're going a full week ending on that Friday. So there's some pluses on that one that has the 2 weeks. The one in that was the close, it wasn't a close second, but it was a second. Staff really liked D. That was what they came back with. But a lot of parents still like B. But if you look at that, we would be going up to the 23rd with a half day. And that, when that was saw, when our staff saw that, they were kind of lost their heart.
As a mother, you love your kids staying in school so you can get everything mm-hmm. done.
So,
but our staff can't get anything done.
So that was this kind of a second. You also have C and A, the ones that were quickly said that they did not really want to look at. So as we, even though we voted for D as the option, one of the things again as we looked at that, what if we were to do the 2 days, and we start looking at it and going, ouch, we would be starting on a Friday,
and what would that look like? So that's why that second paragraph in the action sheet would be, our proposal would be that if we were to still have that option at that time, that we would petition to start technically on the 17th, that Monday, but no kids would be there. We'd use the 17th and 18th for professional development, and we would actually be out of school on the 25th of May. So we would have that change at that time. But that will be in a year and a half before that decision could be made, because we don't know if we're going to have that option from the State Board of Education. So the recommendation is tentatively at this point is D. That keeps to the most of our tenets and parameters that were determined, but with the understanding that we may have to come back and revisit that as we adopt
this in
next year. Did I say that okay, Stacy? Was there anything I missed?
Okay. And she figures all of these out.
She does, amazingly so. She counts to 180 in every way that she can.
Any
questions?
All right. I would like to have a motion to accept the 2014-15 school calendar and the 2015-16 tentative calendar.
I so move.
Motion's been made by Connie. Second?
I'll second it.
By Lynn. Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I sit on that committee, and it really is difficult to come up with a happy medium for everybody. But some years you side one way, and some years you have to side the other. So it just kind of is,
just can't make
it's a guessing game. So thank you, Stacy, for all your work with that. And I appreciate the committee's work as well.
It's That's amazing so how the calendar, as it changes. I mean, there's some years it's like, this is a no-brainer. Others to try to figure out how to fit in 180 days and still make it look legitimate is just a killer.
And I think that it's important that, you know, that there really is thought and time put into coming up with an effective calendar for everybody. So it's not just, we don't just pick it out of a hat. So thank you very much for Stacy and the committee for working so hard on that.
Again, we will need to change that to winter break on all those.
All right, we have one more action item tonight, which is action on our ISQ, Indicators of School Quality. Once again, Marshall, you're in the hot seat today.
Appreciate the opportunity to bring this to you. In the past, we have now, since 2007, have done the indicators of school quality district-wide. Prior to that time, there were some schools that had done it on an individual basis. That had been run by the School of the Center of the Future. No, Center for the School of the Future. I always get that mixed up. Through USU. That was divested by the university this past year to a private company. In doing so, the company that has, and they, with that divestiture, they received all of our data. In that process, they have gone to, and the company is called EdPulse. That EdPulse has taken what we've done in the past, as you know, has been a paper-pencil process. Both taking it and then a paper with a colored paper process for the reporting. That is now done all electronically and by computer, utilizing technology. The cost of this is $1.50 per student, which was $1 per student when we were with USU. I have seen the prototypes of the reports as they were coming through. They've taken our data from the past and shown us how we can now look at all the schools together, and you have a great visual of all of the schools and where they are, so that you're not having to kind of set all eight together and kind of look. It's very good in its presentation and the ability for parents, staff, and students to take it online. It takes between 10 to 15 minutes.
Online.
For parents, it still won't be as friendly as we want it to be. We have asked them, it'll probably be version 2 next year, that they could go in and do all the demographics once and then say, I have four kids and be able to then identify the four kids in the school and then work with that. So they're only having enter once. They will still now have to enter on electronically, but they will still have to do it four times, the demographics for each of the children. They will be able to do the comments online. They will be able to be typed in, and they will come to us in a Word document. They will not be part of what is available for the presentation until we have the ability, as I've done before, has gone through and made sure that there are no defaming remarks against any staff members. And so that process will still continue. It will be much easier. Right now we've had our staff here typing all of those comments up by parents as well as by staff.
And trying to read the writing as people
Correct.
Write those in.
So that will make it much easier. And actually, there's been a cost to that, though that we've not. It's just been part of their duties during that time frame. So there's a lot of pluses on the process. We would still do this in January. It would be a two-week window. We would have a lot of opportunities for parents to come in and utilize if they'd like to do it at school. We do have some parents that don't have access to computers that we would have that available. We would also work with the library. Many of our families utilize the public library and have that as an option as well. So we'd have it publicized in ways that they can take advantage of that. It'll take a short amount of time for students to take it, between 12 to 15 minutes. And so they should be able to finish the whole thing. And then we have the availability for all staff to take it as well. So the proposal in front of you is to go with EdPulse for the continuation of our ISQ process that we've done in the past.
And I would like to add just for the minutes that the ISQ is indicators of school quality. It doesn't gather personal student data. It just gathers data that indicates how well our schools and our teachers are doing to provide the education according to parents.
It gives, with the research-based criteria that is around, it allows for us to look at indicators that will allow for better student performance.
Perfect.
And it's something that we've looked at and schools have looked at as they look at their school improvement plan. It can be, they are in discussion with the State Office of Education. As you know, that part of the new evaluation system is to have a stakeholder feedback process. This could potentially allow for that to occur, again, in an anonymous process so that we would be able to look at that once the parameters are built by the state. They have not built yet. This may be a platform where they can also go in and share their observations as parents and as students towards their staff and their principal. That is something that's going to be required as part of law, and we're trying to find the easiest vehicle for our community to do that, as well as for our staff to do it on administrators. Do we want to make sure that we have a vehicle? This is potentially one that would allow us to do that. But again, the parameters have not yet been set by the state. Once they are, then we can make the determination whether this is appropriate.
And is the charge per student or per
It is based upon our October.
No,
it's based upon our October 1 count, hence the amount of $9,000.
Okay. Oh, I didn't see that.
If the next page down, it's the cost is $9,180.50.
All right. I need a motion to accept the ISQ contract with EdPulse.
I would so move.
Motion's been made by Ann, seconded by Jim. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I really always appreciate that information that we get from that. All right. We are now on to reports, according to my scribbles on the paper, which is Lynn.
Okay. I guess, first of all, I enjoyed the opportunity to go down to South Campus and thought that was very informative and enjoyed that. I did have a board meeting with Fast Forward. Just so you, they just approved a new purchasing and procurement policy. We approved that. They went over their calendar They will end on the 3rd of June, and that will be graduation that night. So if you're aware of that, this coming. They currently have 239 students. It's the most they've ever had. And they have a waiting list that has been unusual. Usually they have not had that, but they have a waiting list of 32 students at the present time. They said that one interesting, and Eric mentioned that most of their students are coming from Cache and not Logan. It's very heavy on the Cache side. So, and they haven't said their ninth grade class is the largest ninth grade that they've ever had this year. It's really up. They have counselors coming in from the university so that on Tuesday nights, Tuesday and Thursdays, that families that are struggling with their kids can come in free of charge, and they're getting some counseling there. They also have the tutoring program is going very well. They have college students that come down and volunteer every night and spend a lot of time with their students, and but seems to be going well there. Also, we went over their budget, and I generally have given this to Zane. You know, he's kind of liked it. Just as a, they're in, I'm surprised they're in good financial situation. They did purchase the property behind for a area for them to have physical education, the grass and stuff, and it's all, and they purchased that. They used the money out of their fund, spent $100,000 and purchased that land acquisition. And then they had individuals that volunteered everything for to landscape at the grass, the sprinkling system, everything was all volunteered. And so, and yet they still ended up with a net income of pretty well. It's interesting how you see their net income. It's like a business, but
yeah.
Even with that, they still had that. So if you want to pass
thank
that
you
down. This is just kind of an interesting...
Do you know what time graduation is? I'm sorry.
No, but it's usually at 7.
Okay.
And I'll find out for sure.
Thank you.
When I went up to visit my daughter, I decided, I heard that they have their elementary class, they have 960 students in the elementary that my grandson goes to. I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. I think I'll go up and go to school. So I went up. It's interesting. It's a two-story building. Kindergarten, first, second, and third are on the ground floor. Fourth, fifth, and sixth are on the upper floor. It's pretty interesting. One thing that really intrigued me is they have what they call walking buses. And they have like 20 parents that have these orange crosses on them. And they come from all different areas. It's a total non-busing thing. But they come from all these little communities, and these parents are all the way around them, and the kids are in the middle as they take them, and it's a walking bus. And because I went to take Rigdon, and he says, well, Grandpa, I go on the walking bus. And I said, the walking bus? And so I thought, well, I've got to see what this is. But it's really interesting. They just get up there, the parents are there, and they walk them all the way to school. And then when school's out, they're up there again to walk them back to their place. It's called a walking bus. I thought that was interesting. I was interested that they have their art. They don't have art through the school day, but they have it after school, and they have private individuals who do it, and they charge the parents X amount of dollars for their kids to be involved in that. And it's totally separate from the school. They hire someone. The money they get is what they get from the parents that fund that, the art. So the art is actually after school. I could not believe the amount of kids that stayed after. They even have a late walking bus for these kids to go home. But it was really intriguing, I thought, you know, the art program. But I just thought I'd share that. It's just kind of a, it's pretty interesting.
Connie? Just a couple things. You know, one thing I really appreciated, you know, the students who came and did the Gettysburg Address, and just a little FYI, when I was in college for 4 years, I used to go to the service at the cemetery, and, you know, I had this memorized and would read it, and I just thought that was really touching. Really appreciate, you know, Jim's work, Ann's work, and the calendar committee's work. It makes it so much easier for us when it's time, you know, to vote on it, to have all that information. I've worked really hard to get my MB Master Board to get all that completed. Just participated in a webinar on autism, and have read some articles, you know, and I know that it's just, you know, part of being a board member is, of course, understanding all the different parts of education, not just, you know, all of our policies. And I feel good about that. I have my food handler's permit, so I can touch the candy and pass it. Also, we'll be participating in a webinar where there's a discussion back and forth that deals with transition for, you know, special ed students during that senior year and on about, you know, and about building competency in those students. And finished a book that we had started earlier in another situation about you can't teach what you don't know, which is really good because it talks so much about, you know, equality, tolerance, sensitivity training, things like that that we all need to understand whether we're in the classroom or on the board. And then another one that's really interesting, I think that you would just really enjoy, especially if you're in the social studies area at all, okay, is Lies My Teacher Told Me. It's been out for a long time, but it's very, very interesting. It really is. It's not down on teachers or anything. It just kind of covers stuff that doesn't get covered. But anyhow, so that's all I've been busy at.
Very nice. Sounds like you've been you have been busy.
Very nice, Liz.
Anne?
I attended the Bridgeland Applied Technology Board meeting. They gave us the fee schedule for this next year, and I have to actually sign a thing or take our minutes that certifies that we have received it and that it's part of our, you know, the fees that we approve. So I've talked with Marshall, and we'll make sure that that's on our agenda. And then an interesting thing that a policy we passed at Bridgerland is an employee classification policy, and because of the Affordable Care Act, they have made some additional classifications of employees, and we might find it interesting to look at some of how they were able to, you know, you are a full-time but non-benefited. This and I mean, it got than we wanted to.
Can you get me a copy?
I will send you a copy of that. It was just very interesting, and of course, that would be part of our negotiated agreements. But especially since the benefits are so expensive, and then as we look at when the law changed with how many hours can a classified employee work before benefits kick in, that kind of thing, since the law changed last year, it might be helpful to look at. I went to Titanic at Logan High. It was excellent. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been, it's the last night tonight.
What's tonight?
It's starting happened for 15 minutes, but it was very well done. I can't believe the voices, especially on the young men. Just gorgeous, gorgeous voices, and I love the
dancing. And I mean,
yeah, I love the newspaper coverage. It's a little bit of a downer knowing that half those people are going to die. You know that from the beginning, but it was very, very well done. As always, they do such an excellent job. And then I went with Marshall. We went to the Boys and Girls Club. Had kind of a little opening, an open house thing that we went to after our meeting last Tuesday night, and I'm really impressed with the new director of Boys and Girls Club. And we talked with her and with others. They even had a national person there about, as our 21st century after school grants get less and less, as they have been, that very impressed with the new staff for Boys and Girls Club and the good things they do. One of the things I love is they have established at Bear River Charter School now after school that's there
every night, whether school's in or not, and looking at during the day, because many of our working class parents need a safe place for their kids to go. And if we're closed,
where
they go? And after school, until parents get home. So anyway, they're developing some very good programs, and she sent me a little note. I'm really impressed with the leadership.
What is her name?
What's her name, Marshall?
Janelle.
Just very.
It's an interesting spelling on the first name. She's from Bear River. It's the Bear River, and they have now established an office over here.
Yeah, it was Box Elder. She was from the
Box Elder. That's what I meant to
and
say.
They've really been strong in Box Elder County.
They cover all of Box Elder from Tremont and all the way down into. Brigham City. So
I don't work for them during the summer, and I was just wondering for the new director.
And so I'm really excited the possibilities with that. And then I just have to add one more thing. My grandkids go to Hillcrest until Monday, and they were talking to their 5-year-old brother, and they said they do the Leader in Me program up there, and they were saying, Bracken, we need to begin with the ending in mind and make sure that this is a win-win situation. And my son looked at me and he said, Gene, I said, oh yes. And so then I threw something else out, and it was just so neat to hear them using those terms in a family situation that had nothing to do with school, and explaining to their 5-year-old brother, who's also part of the program, who could tell you what beginning with the end in mind and having a win-win situation. He said, but it's always win for you and lose for me. And anyway, it was just so great to hear a fourth grader, a second grader, and a kindergartner using those terms from Leader in Me.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Ann. James?
I went to the Edith Bowen Governing Board meeting. They have a new business administrator, seemed very competent. Their budget, as usual, is in good shape. It's not quite as clear as Zane's budget to us. It's always a little bit worrisome exactly where the money comes from. But based on what they say, there's a good surplus and able to move money around pretty readily. I had to leave early. So Marshall stayed to the end. I had to teach a class.
We only went another 10 minutes.
Okay. So it's a good board. They try hard to govern the school. Dan is pretty much in charge and runs things his way. But most of the time it's good. Sometimes it seems a little top-heavy, but I think the school bought into that. I think they like it. The train has begun for Christmas. It took me till nearly the 13th to get Halloween down, so I've been working on the train now for about a week, and I've got about half of it up, so hopefully I'll make it for our party on the 11th.
12th.
Have
it done on the
11th. Well, the 11th is when I plan to have it done, so I can sleep on the 12th.
Is that all?
That's it.
Very nice. Thank you very much, James. All right. I, too, went to the Titanic play, which I thought was fantastic. I thought it was interesting that when that choice of play was announced, I did have some parents concerned about the content of the adult nature of the play, that perhaps it was a little too adult for high school age students.
I think some of them were looking at it as the movie.
And
it's nothing. The musical is nothing. Does not even follow anything of the movie.
Do you know what I thought was so sad? It was like in the Sunday paper or the Herald Journal has, I'm sorry, Kelly, that little statement out there about the Twitter. And the one person, the interesting Twitter, says, I can't believe I'm going to go to a of the Titanic, I hate to admit it. And then you just turn the page, and then there's this whole big thing about the Titanic, and it was like, oh.
It was very good, and so I felt badly that it was misinterpreted at the beginning by some parents. So I thought it was fantastic. And what I loved about it is that they could involve so many students. They had a huge cast, which was great because so many students got a chance to participate. And so I really appreciated going that to that as well, and they do such a great job. I look forward to having a new auditorium to watch plays in, so that'll be fun too in the future. We'll invite Marshall to come back to watch our plays with us. I have been giving, I'm relying upon Ann and Lynn for your background knowledge. I get emails and minutes and invitations to the CASH Refugee and Immigrant Connection.
Never heard from about
no, I've
it.
I've never heard of it.
So I don't know for sure if that's a...
You're present.
CRIC, I know that. But it's a meeting they hold once a month. I didn't know if you guys had attended that in the past.
I've never heard of it, neither. Maybe you and I need to work on that together.
Okay.
It's not the English language.
No.
We've talked with them in the past about...
It's separate. Oh, that's good information.
Workforce Services used to have money up until, I believe, like June of last year. And so this is a community-based group. Now that makes sense. I didn't know what the final name was. I knew there was going to be a group together. I just never knew what the final the title was.
And we hold it at the St. John's Episcopal Church. So I just didn't know. I haven't actually had a chance to attend one of the meetings, but I guess, Marshall, I would talk about whether that's a board assignment or if that's something that we want to consider in the future, assigning
maybe
a board member to go to. Or
right, maybe.
Somebody should attend. So yeah. I think that they...
We have a liaison that could possibly fill that. So if you can get with me...
Okay. Just wanted to remind board members of our Christmas party, which will be on December 12th. We're going to meet at 6
o'clock.
Or you
can come on the 11th.
You can come on the 11th. We're going to meet at 6 o'clock at Lynn's house. We'll have dinner there. If you are wanting to participate in our game, I encourage you to bring a white elephant gift.
One per couple.
One per person or one per couple. I prefer one per person, okay. If that's not a big burden on you financially. If it is,
you want under 100?
We want yours to be over 100.
Is it really a white elephant gift?
You can bring whatever you want.
I'm going to get a really big bonus for Christmas. I think it's $300. So.
Yes. Whatever you want to bring, just don't, whatever, I'm going to leave
that
up to
you. Is it one per person, no more than $10 a gift?
Okay. Something similar to that, Jim.
Darn, I hate to be
because the white elephant gift
it's
is a white elephant.
It's anonymous. They're not going to know who gave it to us.
$100 gift. I want mine to be anonymous. Not anonymous. Known about.
Known about. Okay, well, if you're perfect. And then after that, we're going to head to James and Karen's house for a dessert and to see the train that will be set up by then. So we're excited for that night. So it'll be fun. It's casual attire, so wear your casual clothing. And it just day-to-day things about been doing lots of stuff in the schools, and it's been great to be out with them. And Foundation's doing very well, and that's all I have for today. Marshall, Marshall.
As we start... On December 2nd, when we come back from the holiday, we've normally had more time between now and our winter break, so it'll be a fast and furious. There'll be lots that of activities will be on. We'll make sure that we get those dates to you. There'll be orchestra concerts, elementary orchestra concert. I know it's going to be on the 18th at 6 o'clock and at 7 o'clock at Mount Logan Middle School, and I know that one. But I know there will be others. There will be a band, and there will be some choir ones. So we'll make sure that you get all of those and all the school ones. There's some fun things that are occurring during this time of the year. Plus, we've had some amazing, we've already started at the schools on gathering up of coats and clothing and food and toys for families that are in crisis and are in need of things. And so all of our, we have such a giving community, and it's so wonderful to watch our little kids, who, even though they are not coming from necessarily always the most affluent homes, they're bringing things so that everyone is giving. And very appreciative. You know, Wilson has been doing a coat drive, and then they're not able to provide for their group, they take what is the surplus and have Ellis work with that for the families in the Ellis area. So just some great things going on, and we'll get you that information. We will, obviously tonight we've had a lot of things that are pressing in terms of some deadlines, and we will be working on that and we'll keep you informed between now and the 10th when we meet. We're working with MHTN. We have some tentative timelines that we'll go over on the 10th with you. Our audit will be finished by then, and we'll have the presentation by the auditors on the 10th as well. So that's kind of some preview of coming attractions. Is there anything else, Stacy, that I missed?
I forgot that I also wanted to report on the suicide bullying, what do you call that, meeting that we held at the middle school last week. It wasn't, I'm sure Dave was very disappointed in the turnout. I think there were maybe less than 10 parents that attended. But I'm always impressed that the people that are there are the people that need to be there. And if you're going to help even one person, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And I was impressed that we even had a couple people that had seen it in the newspaper, and it came from the county.
We do appreciate that, Kelly, for your help.
So how grateful I was that they felt comfortable enough to come from the county to our meetings, and they felt that, you know, that their need was such that they would seek help.
We will continue to offer those throughout. We're having different ones, different focus throughout the year, but we want to have a touch base of at least every 4 to 6 weeks. And
situations change all year long.
It was great. I thought they did a great job, and I know Dave was a little disappointed at the turnout, but like I say, if you can help one person, it's worth it. So I just wanted to let you know that's if that's something you could fit into your schedule, it's always, at least the couple I've been to have been very beneficial. All right, we don't have a report from Zane as he's not here. Any other calendaring items that we have besides the board meeting in December, which is the 12th, and I'm sorry, the 10th, and then our board Christmas party is on the 12th. Anything else? And of course, you have USBA in January on your calendars as well. January.
We have JLC on Monday.
We have JLC on Monday, and then USBA is January 9th, 10th, and 11th.
And I had a call this morning. Thank you. From Mosi White, who have requested us to be part of, she's doing a follow-up on what counts and some things that have happened down in Utah County with their United Way and getting volunteerism into the schools and communication. But they would like us to do about a 5 to 7 minute presentation on what we've done and what counts and what we're, you know, kind of an update. And so, Jim, I volunteered you and myself
to
do that. So anyway.
And now you have our track statement, so you're one step closer.
We can work on that before that time, but just a short amount of time. That'll be on that Friday, on the 10th. Also at that at USBA, CEFBE, which is where I was. That's the Council for Educational Facility Planners, which I was state president on 2 years ago. We have rented one of the rooms right next to it, and that is a larger room. USBA was going to give us a room, but it was only 400 square feet. But we are going to be putting a classroom of the future up with technology and furniture for all, you know, so that board members can kind of walk through there on both Friday and Saturday.
And sit on the bouncing
things. Sitting on the bouncing. And so they can kind of get a picture of what is out there beyond what we currently have in our classroom in terms of our
tradition,
our furniture, and some of the technology options that we have. So that should be exciting, and it'll be a neat addition, I hope, to USBA.
I do have one other question. There's a possibility I'll have a research study done in time for presentation for USBA, I mean NSBA. Would you like me to write a proposal for that, or would you prefer I did not?
That would be for next year or this year.
For 2015 or 2004? Are they still getting for 2014?
I think are they're done? Closed for this year.
No, I won't do 2015. Sorry. Retract.
But maybe for next year.
Well, it's too
we'll
late.
Talk about that.
It's too late okay. getting proposals.
For next year, though. We'll talk about that.
We'll talk.
And just so that you're aware, the lunch on Friday where we've had our spouses is now board working lunch. So just so that your spouses are aware that there will be no lunch on Friday
because
for spouses.
We can't have anyone donate a lunch because of rules.
Well, they changed it because they wanted to have more board collaboration time during that time, so they felt like that was a time. But I do believe they are providing lunch.
The two groups are basically footing the bill, but it's because...
Through USBA.
Yeah, it's through USBA.
Okay. But spouses won't be coming to that lunch. I believe it's just dinner. Is that correct? Dinner Friday night. The banquet's still the same, and then Saturday
the
lunch.
Same
they
as
can still
and Saturday the lunch.
That's what
Thursday
we think,
night,
isn't it?
Friday,
yeah. Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday of that first
and
week.
And it'll be, I think the agenda will be very nice. It'll be very fun to learn new things.
Okay.
All right. Any other calendaring items? Stacy will let us know what the events are happening in July, or in July, in December. And we will plan on adjourning as a board on again on December the 10th. That said, I need to have a motion to go into closed session to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual. Motion?
So moved.
Second. Made by Ann, seconded by Connie. I need a voice vote. Lynn?
Yes.
Connie?
Yes.
Ann?
Yes.
James?
Do we get a little break?
Yes, a break.
Yes.
Christy, yes. We will now, we will not be taking any motion or any action, I'm sorry, in our closed session. And
or when we come back.
Or when we come back, we will adjourn our board meeting after we're done with the closed session. We'll adjourn for 5 minutes and we'll meet for our closed session to discuss competency in Marshall's office.
Is it colder?
Oh, so bring our stuff. Okay. Thank you for coming.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for staying.
Is it cold in your office?
I don't know at this time of night. It was almost 90 degrees this morning when I walked in, so I don't know.
Stacy must be cold. She had the coat on.
But I don't want to be going down to the powder room.
I brought the book you so suggested.